We turn in God's Word this morning to 1 John chapter 3. We'll read the entire chapter. The text this morning will be the first part of verse 1. 1 John 3. This is the holy inspired Word of God. Beloved, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who is of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whosoever hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Thus far, we read God's word. The text, as I said, is the beginning of verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we ask thy blessing upon the word that we hear in this day, and upon the word, the Holy Scriptures that we have just read. I pray, O Father, that thou wilt assure our hearts of thy love for us as a father, and assure us, Father, of adoption in Jesus Christ. And we pray, O God, that thou wilt comfort our hearts with the word today. We thank thee for adoption, and we need to know what we are, what thou dost call us. And so may we hear this word today, and may it comfort our souls. Give strength to thy servant as he brings this word today. May he bring it clearly and in truth for the glory of thy name. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Names are important to us. What we're called, is important to us. We know that, don't we? It's true from a couple of perspectives, even as we see it this morning. I don't know how long it took you to decide on a name together for your son. Or you other couples who have had children had to choose a name for that child. I know for my wife and I, it often took us a while to find that name we could agree on. We spend a lot of time usually talking about that. There's the expectation of a child. What are we going to name that child? And so that part of having a child is important to us. But it's also important from another perspective this morning. It's important from the perspective of adoption. Name is important. That's part of the adoption process. Your children have your last name. And so they were given that through that process of adoption. And so Gerard and Giselle now are Gerard and Giselle Kuiper. And so we see the importance of a name this morning, what we're called. We see that also this morning from the perspective of our relationship with God. And that's what the text is looking at, the text we considered this morning. What does God call us? What does God say to us? What does He declare to us? And really, there are two options. It's not about the particular name that you have, your given name. But it's about this. Am I an enemy of God? Or am I a son of God? And those two things are very different. If God declares you an enemy, then He's against you. And His wrath is upon you. Not only now, but for all eternity. But if He says son, called son, how different that is. It means His love is upon us. And not just now, but forever. And how beautiful it is then to be called sons of God. And that's what the text is declaring here about the love of God. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. That's amazing. And it points out really two things to us this morning. We are called the sons of God, first of all, because of His work of adoption. He has adopted us in the blood of Jesus Christ. And the second thing this points out to us is the wondrous and amazing love of God for us. He is our Father and we are His children. This is a profound and deep passage of God's Word that reveals the love of God in adoption. I don't know if you noticed it as we read through the baptism form this morning. Twice, adoption was mentioned in connection with baptism. Baptism is a sign and seal of our adoption. Our adoption. And so we're reminded of that this morning. And we're reminded of what's behind that as well, the love of God. That's what the book of 1 John is about. It's a book about the love of God. The deep love of God. The wide love of God. The really incomprehensible love of God for His people. But done so in a very practical way, as it declares to us very practically that out of this love of God for us flows love for Him, our love for Him, and our love for each other as well. And so it teaches us how we are to live as the sons and daughters of God. But what we look at this morning is the beautiful gospel truth of adoption. That we might be assured of our adoption and the love of God for us in Jesus Christ. So with that in mind, we consider this text under the theme called the Sons of God. We notice first the amazing declaration. Secondly, the foundational love, the love that is behind that. And then finally, the commanded beholding. We shouldn't miss that beginning word of the text, behold. God wants us to see this in the right way. When the text says that we are called the sons of God, the idea of that word called there is that this is His official declaration. This is the name that He gives to us His people. And that's part of the idea of that word called there as well, that we're called by a name. And the name that we are given here is sons of God. What an amazing declaration that is, that God looks at us and His declaration is sons of God, children of God. What God's saying to us in this is, I love you as my dear children. You are dear and you are precious to me. That's amazing, isn't it? That God would say that. We understand how amazing that is from the perspective of our own sinfulness. And that's the question for us this morning. What is it that makes this so amazing? We who are sinners would ask that question. Those who don't know their sin would say, well, of course, I'm a child of God. No, we see how amazing it is that we are called the sons of God. It's amazing because of who we are. We're completely undeserving of such a declaration because even as we read in the baptism form this morning, and it's the very language of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 2, we by nature are children of wrath. We are children of wrath. That means that we don't deserve the love of God. Instead, we deserve the wrath of God. We don't deserve His care. We don't deserve His protection. We don't deserve the declaration, you are my sons. But instead, what you and I deserve is death and destruction and to be under His wrath forever. Every one of us is born into this world deserving of that. But it's even more than that. Of ourselves, we don't even want to be adopted. Well, think of that. There are children in orphanages today who want to be adopted by loving families. But we and our sin don't even want to be adopted. We don't want God as our Father. We rebel against Him. We reject Him. We want nothing to do with Him. That's the way we are of ourselves. And yet, God comes to us and He says, sons, children, you are mine. This is brought out powerfully and illustrated really powerfully in an Old Testament passage. There aren't many Old Testament passages where the relationship of God and His people is revealed as father and children. But there are a few. And one of them is in the prophecy of Hosea. In the prophecy of Hosea, let me take a look there at chapter 1. Hosea 1, verses 9 and 10. I'm going to look first at verse 10 and then go back to verse 9. You remember the prophecy of Hosea. The prophet Hosea was commanded by God to marry a prostitute whose name was Gomer. And God commanded this as a picture. This Gomer as a prostitute was a picture of the people of Israel in their rebellion and sin. And they're following after false gods. But Hosea marrying him is a picture of God and what He does with His sinful people. We read in verse 10 then, yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. Now, that has to be understood in the context. If you go up to verse 9 and 8 with it, Gomer and Hosea had a son. And then God said in verse 9, call his name Lo-Ami, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. That's what that name meant. Lo-Ami meant, you are not my people. So Hosea and Gomer have a son. God commands them to name him this, you are not my people. And then God comes in the next verse through Hosea, and he says this, in this place where it was said, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. Beloved, that's what God says to us. We deserve that name, Lo-Ami.
Ye are not my people. But God comes to us and says, but you are called my sons. Ye shall be called the sons of the living God. That's the amazing declaration that we have in this passage this morning. Our God calls us by a new name. And that new name is sons of God. When we are adopted, we are given this new name. Just like when children are adopted, they are given a new name. That last name changes. They take on the name of their adopted parents. We receive a new name through adoption. Sons of God. That's our official name. That's the declaration of God. Now that is the declaration of God not upon all people. That's the declaration of God upon those who believe. It's a declaration of God upon those whom He has chosen. We're going to look at that in a moment. But take notice of the fact that this is upon those who believe, and that believers hear this declaration of God in a very real and particular way. You might ask that. Where does God say to me, sons of God? Right here in the preaching. Really every Lord's Day when we gather for worship. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ. First word of God that we hear in our worship. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's God's declaration to us. You're my beloved. You're my sons. You're my children. I love you. And really, I could begin a sermon that way. Some of our preachers do that. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's God's declaration to us, sons. That's what we hear in the preaching of the gospel. That's also what we hear through the sacrament of baptism. Take notice again of the fact that we read once in a prayer, another part in the main body of the baptism form, that baptism is a sign and a seal of our adoption. Baptism, remember, is a picture of entrance into the covenant of God and the church of God. What is it to come into the covenant of God? Well, the covenant is a covenant of fellowship. It's a family covenant. God is saying, you're part of my family. That's what He declares to His people in baptism, to believers in baptism. We know that is not God's declaration to every one of the children who are baptized or to everyone who hears the preaching of the gospel. But this is God's declaration to those in whom He has worked so that they believe and they know Him and they repent of their sins. So it's not for all who hear. That's something that's brought out, especially in John chapter 1. John 1, verse 12. We read there, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. This is God's declaration to believers, not because of belief, but it's the statement of fact. This is what God says to His believing people. This is what we all need to hear this morning. We should see and understand this morning that there are not just two adopted children here today, but we're a congregation of adopted children. That's the beauty of adoption. And that's why we need to hear this as well. We need to hear this because of our own sin. We need to hear this because of our own worthiness. We need to hear this because of the struggle that we're going through with our own sin. We would wonder. We would doubt. Am I a child of God? With all the sin that cleaves me, what does God say about me? And He comes to us. We repent and believe. Sons of God, you are my children. But it's exactly as well at this point where Satan attacks. Satan wants you to doubt this. He can tell you all kinds of lies. You're not good enough. You couldn't be a son of God. Part of it's true. I'm not good enough. But that doesn't mean I can't be a son of God. But this is where Satan attacks us. And so we need to hear this and know this. But now as we look at this amazing declaration and God says to us, called sons of God, the question that follows is, how can this be? How can this be that God calls us His sons? How can this be that we are part of His family? How can this be when I deserve to have the name? We deserve to have the name. Lo ami, ye are not the people of God. But then God comes and says, sons, and children. How can this be? Well, it can be because of what God has done. It's because of adoption. Our God gives us the right to be called sons of God. There's a legal procedure to follow for this to happen. We see that in earthly adoptions. There's a legal procedure to follow. There's the choosing, there's payment, and there's finalization. And so also we see with God in this adoption, there's a legal part to this that brings us into the family of God. First of all, we see and understand that God chooses His children. We are sons, we are children because He chooses us. That's part of the text as well. When we hear this declaration, this is God's declaration, called sons of God from all eternity into all eternity. This originates with God. This points us as well to Ephesians 1 verse 5, which says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Part of adoption is God choosing His people from all eternity in election. We are adopted children because God has chosen us. We say, well, why us? Ephesians 1 verse 5 says, it's the good pleasure of His will. Not because of anything in you. He didn't look ahead to see something good in you. It pleased God to do this for the glory of His name. Understand here this morning, it's not children who seek and obtain the right of adoption. No, it's the parents who do this. It's the father who does this. That's the point later on in 1 John chapter 4 when it says, verse 10, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. This doesn't originate in us. It's not our desire and then God does something. It's God. He starts it. He begins it. He determines it. And He does everything that is needed so that we are His children. The second thing we see is that God gives us the right to be called sons by the work of Jesus Christ. So there's the choosing from all eternity. And secondly, there's the work of God in Jesus Christ that gives us the right. Here's the legality of it. Payment has to be made so that we can be sons of God. And that points us this morning to the work of Jesus Christ. He paid the price so that we can be sons and daughters of God. And the price that was paid was not with gold or silver. It wasn't with money. It was with the precious blood of our Savior. Meaning, He took upon Himself all of the punishment that we deserve for our sins. All that punishment He took upon Himself. And in doing so, He bore that punishment in full so that there is no punishment left for us. And what we have is righteousness. Righteousness imputed to us, given to our account, so that as part of this declaration, sons, God's declaration is righteous. Righteous before Me. Perfect before Me. Because we have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's on the basis of this work of Jesus Christ, then, that God declares us to be His sons and declares us to be His children. It's because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. Adoption is grounded in that. And that's why in the sacrament of baptism, we're pointed to adoption. It's pointing out to us this is the only way that we can be the sons of God. And now for us this morning, this is how we know that the declaration of God can be true and is true. That God comes to us, even though we deserve to have the name Lo-Ami, He comes to us and says, no, sons of the living God. It's because of the finished work of Jesus Christ, what God has done in Him. God has chosen us in Him, and He has redeemed us. When we wonder about this, when we doubt this, this is what we need to see and know in the Word of God. Jesus Christ and His finished work. Yes, I'm a son because of Him.
That's an amazing declaration. But in that amazing declaration, we see the foundation of it this morning. We see the foundation of God's love. And that's what this passage is pointing out. Notice in 1 John 3, verse 1, going back to the text, "Beloved, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." The idea here is that in being called the sons of God, we see the manner of God's love. We see the beauty of God's love. We see the amazing character of this love. And that's the relationship between the two ideas here. We see the amazing character and nature of the love of God in God's declaration that we are called the sons of God. So when we look at that word manner, we might think, how? What manner? How does the Father love us? But that's not the idea there. The idea instead is, see the nature and the quality of this love. Let us see the amazing character of the love of God that is revealed and shown and Him calling us the sons of God. What we see this morning is that what is behind adoption is God's beautiful, amazing, filial, that's fatherly, love. What a love. And really, when you come to that part of the text, even though this text is very short, and on the surface it would seem very simple, it is profoundly deep. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us. Really, two things we notice about this love. First of all, that this love is sovereign. And secondly, that this love is active. God is active in this love. He's bestowing, is the idea in the text. There's activity there. But first, we see the sovereignty of God's love. And we see that especially in defining this love. What is love? Well, love is God's delight in another and His determination to do them good. So delight and determination, and then there's an activity of love that follows from that. God delights in another. That's true of God Himself. We saw that a couple of weeks ago when we looked at the truth of the Trinity, that God, in that love that He has in Himself, delights in Himself. The three persons of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they delight in one another perfectly. So also God, in His love for us, delights in us. He delights in the people that He has chosen from all eternity. How amazing that is, that He delights in us. We might wonder about that in our own insecurities. How could anyone delight in me? How could God delight in me? We understand that even in earthly relationships, there can be those insecurities in a marriage. How could my husband delight in me? How could my wife delight in me? Or kids even, when you disobey mom and dad and you know that, and you might wonder, being very hard on yourself, how could mom and dad delight in me? How could they love me? Or parents coming to see and know our sins. How could my children still love me with all of my flaws and all of my weaknesses? Those are the insecurities we might have. And those are the insecurities we might have in our relationship with God as well. How could He delight in me? Well, He does because, not anything in you or anything in me, but because His love includes this eternal determination. It is His decision to love His people from all eternity. God's love is not a feeling based on what we do. So that when we're pleasing to Him, then He loves us. But if we're not, then He doesn't. Then His love is all gone. No, we know God's love doesn't work that way. God's love is constant. God's love doesn't change. God's love is not dependent upon how we behave or what we do. That doesn't mean we ought to abuse that. May we never do that.
and say, well, it doesn't matter how I live. God's going to keep loving me anyway. No, God's love is a decision. We see and understand from a human perspective how difficult that is. Just think about that from the perspective of parents. There are times, of course, when we love our children dearly. But other times when it's not so easy. Maybe we even think it, or we say it out loud. I don't like him or I don't like her right now because of the way they're behaving. Now, that doesn't mean you don't necessarily love them right then, but we can struggle with that at times when they're disobedient, when they're rebellious, when they're throwing that fit, when they're not sleeping at night, and there's no reason why they shouldn't be sleeping at night, and they're fighting with each other constantly, and we might not like them very much in those moments, but our calling is to have the decision to love them in those moments. We know that in marriage too. It can be hard to love your spouse at times with what he does or what she does. And then we're reminded by the Word of God that love is not about feelings. In response to him being so loving or her being so loving and kind, it's a decision that I make. Because that's God's decision with us. We see that in a real way in adoption. Where parents, when they adopt children, make a conscious decision that these children are going to be part of our home and we're going to love them as our own children. That's a decision that they make to do so. That points us to what God does in His love. He decides to love us from all eternity, and then in that love, God desires to do what is best. He gives His people the highest good. What is that highest good? Well, the highest good is to be part of His family. It's fellowship with Him. It's to have Him as our Father speaking to us and we speaking to Him, all in love with one another. He makes His sons and daughters to enjoy fellowship with Him. And in that relationship then, we're showered, simply showered with the blessings of His love through the work of the Holy Spirit. We read of that at the end of 1 John chapter 3, the work of the Holy Spirit. And this is how we know the love of God. And also in this life, we know what God is doing. He's doing what is best for us. And what is best for us is He's working all things for our good. He's making us more Christ-like so that we live in fellowship with Him and we're brought in the end to our heavenly home. This is God's sovereign love. You want to know the nature and the character of the love of God? It's this. It's a sovereign love. Notice what we've talked about, not about what we do, but what He does. He delights in us. He makes that eternal decision to love us. It's His determination to love us. This is God's sovereign love. He determines on whom He will set His love. And He determines how He will love them. This love originates in God Himself. This is the book of the Bible, after all, where we read in the very next chapter, God is love. This love of God is not based on anything we've done. It's God's sovereign determination to love us. This is the nature of His love. His love is sovereign, as that love is revealed in Jesus Christ, our Savior, who gave His life for us. What is behind this adoption? This love of God, sovereign love. Secondly, notice about that love, that this love of God, in which He delights in us, He determines to do us good, He does us good. This love is active. God is active in His love. It's a love that gives. Notice that in the text here, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Bestowed is the simple idea of giving. This is the love that our Father gives to us. And in that love, He does give. Our Father in His love holds nothing back that we truly need. He gives us everything that we need. Our Savior Jesus Christ revealed that beautifully in His love for us. He gave not just part of His life, not just some of His life. He gave His entire life. Ephesians 5 emphasizes that. He gave His life for His bride. And husbands, we have the calling to reflect that in our marriages, to give the whole of ourselves for the good of the wife that God has given to us, to reflect the love of God in Jesus Christ, who gave His entire life for us, even suffering there on the cross and going through all of death and taking upon Himself all the punishment of hell. Not some, not as much as He could handle, though He took all of it, upon Himself in our place. God in His love gave His Son. And His Son suffered and died in our place. And the Holy Spirit then, on the basis of that finished work, pours out upon us all the blessings of salvation. What rich blessings of salvation. So that we have in our hearts the life of Jesus Christ. We live now in faith. We know God and we love Him. We live in hope. We have justification, we have sanctification, and the glorious end that is ours in Jesus Christ. How richly we are blessed in our Savior Jesus Christ. On all of this we see the activity of God's love. In fact, that word bestows here has the idea of a present state that results from what happened in the past. So right now, God is bestowing. He's bestowing upon us. As it were, think of backing up the dump truck of the blessings of salvation. Not just a few, not just a trickle, but the load, the great load of the blessings of salvation that He showers upon us. In this we see the activity of the love of God. But in this life as well, we see the activity as He's chastising us. He sends suffering in our lives to teach us to trust in Him. All of what God is doing in His sovereignty towards His people is motivated by this love. What a beautiful love. What an amazing love. Today, we see the unchanging, ever-faithful love of God for us. Let's see and understand this morning as we consider this activity of God's love that it does not change. Our love towards others may change. Our love, if we're honest with ourselves, our love so often is performance-based. It's performance-based. I will love if you... And we do. We find it easy to love, of course, when another person is being kind and loving to us. It's performance-based. God's love for us is not performance-based. Our love so quickly becomes conditional in marriage and in home and in our friendships. God's love is never like this. His love is consistent. His love is always for His sons. He never changes in that love. And that's what we need to be assured of, don't we? And the changes of life and the sufferings that come, the hardships that come, whether it's big things or it's the smaller things that all come together during a week. In the midst of that, there's one thing that changes not. God Himself and His love for us, His children. That's what we want to see this morning concerning the nature of the love of God. This is part of the nature of that love and the beauty of the love of God. It's not based upon what we do. He always loves us. He continues to love us. Now that means He's going to chastise us. That means He's working on us. We need work done on us. He's molding us and shaping us into the image of His Son. There's the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit in us. He's working all of these things for our good. But that's what we need to know in the midst of all of this. It is for good. Because of the unchanging love of God. Now God comes to us and says, as we consider these things this morning, adoption, that God calls us His sons. And what's behind that, what's foundational here, is the fatherly, the filial love of God. Now the Word of God comes to us and says, behold. Behold! Let's not miss that important word here in the text. Behold means see it. But not just see it. See it and believe it. See it and believe it. Behold this great, profound love that makes us His sons, and believe that you are sons and daughters adopted in the blood of Jesus Christ. See and know the love of God. See and know the Father's love for you. See and know that you are part of the family of God. See and know this as you behold this in the preaching of the gospel. See and know this as you behold it in the sacrament of baptism this morning. See what God has done to make you sons. He sent His only begotten Son. And see this morning the constant and unchanging love of God. Do you believe it? Do you see it and believe it? So that this morning you leave here saying, I know this. There's the one thing I know. God calls me His son. God calls me His daughter. I am His and I am loved. When we behold that, when we see it and believe it, then that makes an impact upon us in our lives, doesn't it? And the impact is this. We reflect it. Those who know it reflect it. That's the message over and over again of 1 John. When you know this love of God, you'll reflect it. And if you're not reflecting it, what that means is you don't really know the love of God. So that's the question for us this morning. You might say, I ask you the question, do you see it and believe it? Yes, yes, yes. Is that reflected? Is that reflected? That doesn't mean we're going to do it perfectly, of course. You see the beginning of that reflection. That's our calling as parents. Reflect the love of God. Reflect the love of God. We reflect that love, and this family has in adopting. We reflect this love of God in the parenting that we are called to do. And that love of God doesn't mean, well, just let things go. It means disciplining when that's needed, instructing, teaching, leading and guiding our children in the way of truth and godliness. It's important for us in our marriages. It reflected in our marriages as husbands and wives. So our spouse sees in us the love of God, this rich and beautiful and profound love of God. May this deep and profound love of God make an impact upon us then too, in our homes, in our marriages, in our relationships as well. So that in our lives, our very lives, not just our words, but our very lives are constantly pointing to God, so that we love as He has loved us. Behold. Behold this morning what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we're thankful for this word of hope and comfort this morning. We ask for strength to live by this word, to see it and believe it in the power of the Holy Spirit, and to learn to reflect it as well in our lives. Father, we give thanks for making us Thy sons and daughters, for adoption in the blood of Jesus Christ. We are thankful for Thy fatherly love that is perfect and constant for those who are rebellious and disobedient. We give Thee our thanks and praise, not just in this moment, but we desire to do that as we sing, as we fellowship together, and as we return in this evening as well. May we return as sons and daughters. In Jesus' name do we pray. Amen.